Vaya. The session will start with the reading the Heart Sutra. That is page 76. As we had imagined, the presence of the historical Buddha and all those great teachers whom we have received teachings, and the sutra that we are going to read, as we all know, belongs to this group of sutras called Panchaparamita Sutras, or Perfection of Wisdom Sutras. And the main explicit topic from these sutras is emptiness, which is the main topic, subject that we are trying to understand, trying to gain wisdom relation to this topic. Try to understand the emptiness or the selflessness of all the things and events, and particularly relation to our I, the identity. And the cultivation of the wisdom realizing emptiness, is out of two main pillars to build the complete enlightenment within ourselves and within the living beings. And this realization of emptiness is one of those two pillars, and that is the explicit topic of this sutra. And emptiness is taught on the basis of all the things and events, from the form aggregates to all the way up to enlightenment. And that is traditionally called implicit topic, subject of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras. And our relationship, our connection with the conventional things and events, and through that cultivating ethics. When we relate to them, when we work with them, when we, communicate with them, then cultivating ethics, living an ethical life, such as cultivation of love, compassion, and altruism, and with these mind, acting according to these minds, is called the second pillar, out of those two pillars to cultivate enlightenment within ourselves. So while we are reading this Heart Sutra, of course, people who are able to meditate according to the topics and as it is briefly mentioned in this short Heart Sutra, that will be great. People who have a difficulty to meditate according to the topic while we are reading, then really strongly Imagine from the Buddha and all those great teachers in an aspect of multicolored lights, in the nature of their great compassion and wisdom, descend upon us and upon all living beings. And due to that, all the difficulties, and particularly obstacles to cultivate these two pillars to enlightenment, and in this case, specifically our topic that we are, during this retreat that we are studying, is emptiness. So all those obstacles to cultivate realization of emptiness are overcome, eliminated, and think that we receive all the blessings and inspirations to have, to realize the emptiness relation to our I and all things and events. So hold that kind of mind while we are reading the Heart Sutra. Oh yeah. Prostrate to Arya Triple Jam. Thus I heard one time the Bhagavan was dwelling on the Mars Virtuous Mountain in Rajgir together with a great community of monks and great community of bodhisattvas. At that time the Bhagavan was observed in concentration on the categories of nomina called profound deception. Also at that time, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Aya Avalokiteshvara looked upon the practice of profound rational wisdom and beheld those five aggregates also empty of inanimate nature. Then that through the power of Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra said this to Bodhisattva Mahasattva Aya Avalokiteshvara. How fish and the son of the lineage are trained, which is to practice activity upon professional wisdom. He said that the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Aya Avalokiteshvara said this to the Venerable Shariputra. Shariputra, any son of the lineage or daughter of the lineage, who is to practice the activity of professional wisdom, should look upon like this. Completely and completely holding those five aggregates also empty of inherent nature. Form is empty, emptiness is form, emptiness is not other than form, form is also not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, discrimination, composition, practice, and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, likewise, all phenomena are emptiness. Without characteristics, unproduced, unceased, stainless, not without stain, not deficient, not fulfilled. Shariputra, therefore, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no discrimination, no conversational practice, and no consciousness. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind. No visual form, no sound, no odor, no taste, no object of touch, and no phenomena. There's no eye element and so on, up to and including no mind element, and no mental consciousness element. There's no ignorance, no extinction of ignorance, and so on, up to and including no aging and death, no extinction of aging and death. Similarly, there is no suffering, origination, cessation apart.
There is no exalted wisdom, no attainment, and also no non-attainment. Shariputra, therefore, because there is no attainment, both sattvas and dwell in perfectional wisdom, the mind without obscurations and without fear. Having completely passed beyond error, they reach enter nirvana. All the Buddhas dwell in the three times also manifestly, completely awaken and surpass for perfect, complete enlightenment in the reliance on professional wisdom. Therefore, in the mantra of professional wisdom, the mantra of great knowledge, an unsurpassed mantra, the mantra equal to unequal, the mantra that thoroughly pacifies all suffering, should know this truth as well as the mantra of professional wisdom is declared. Dayata kate kate parapate parasampate bodhisattva. Shariputra, the bodhisattva, mahasattva should train upon professional wisdom like that. And the Bodhisattva grows into concentration, commanded the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Aya Avalokiteshvara, saying, well said, the son of the lineage, it is like that. It is like that. One should practice the profound professional wisdom, just as you have indicated. Even the Tathagatas rejoice. The Bhagavan having thus spoken, the Venerable Shariputra, Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Aya Avalokiteshvara, those surrounding times of along with the world of gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas, and overjoyed and highly praised as spoken by the Bhagavan.
To a short silent meditation, again the same purpose, to enhance a calm, clear and focused mind, and that is done through the cultivation of mental quality of stillness and clarity. As we all know, it is very helpful to enter into meditation very gently, not rushing, making the preparation, sitting posture, and also if you choose an object of the meditation that your mind is going to focus on, and make that object very clear to your mind. And when these two preparations are done, then simply first enhance the stillness, that is, your mind have the qualities, abilities to stay with the object of the meditation, and then enhance the clarity, that is, while the mind is with the object of the meditation, it is fully aware of the object of the meditation. The full attention is paid on the object of the meditation. Yet your mind is free from any form of discursive mental activities. And all these are done with the tremendous sense of ease, relax, yet the stillness, the clarities are fully present. So we'll do this meditation just about 15 minutes. Maya. In the middle in Lambrim, in the section where end of the section where he explains cultivation of shamatha in relation to the, as I mentioned yesterday, relation to the fifth perfection. Perfection of concentration, and he clearly stated, you know, the only in the exceptional in the highest yoga or in the Vajrayana practice, in the Sutrayana, following all those great Indian masters' path, he listed some of those great Indian masters, including Kamala Shila, who was relatively recent for him, you know, around the 9th century. Tsongkhapa was 14th century. Counting all many of those great Indian masters' name, he stated saying, in terms of the sequence, the cultivation of shamatha and vipassana, you know, the calm abiding and insight, special insight, it is very clear for him, sequence is fixed. That means, you know, first cultivation of shamatha, then on the basis of cultivation of shamatha, having, you know, ideally the fully fledged, you know, fully cultivated shamatha, and then launching from there, cultivation of vipassana, and particularly, you know, the vipassana dealing with the 16 aspect of the Four Noble Truths, and within that, the selflessness, emptiness. So the that kind of very, you know, the saying very much fixed how to cultivate in terms of the sequence these two, you know, the mental qualities. In other words, you know, the mental education within ourselves, mentally, how our minds should be educated in this spiritual journey. We know in the, you know, other traditions, some are relatively loose, not necessarily see or explain in that kind of particular sequence. You know, the even some, I have seen some, you know, the texts saying, you know, that vipassana can be cultivated without shamatha. And again, it is really very much what type of vipassana that they are talking about. That's also dependent on that. Why I'm bringing this up here is in the West, and in particularly, you know, in the 21st century, there is this, you know, the education system, and you know, bringing the very much free how to educate your kids. And more or less, you know, the saying, the traditional way of educating with the structure, with the sequential, with the, you know, is not that much, in the 21st century, not that much relevant, have a free sort of, you know, the. And recently I read an article from BBC about in Finland, their education, you know, their, in terms of the world league, Finland is one of the highest sort of, you know, in the league. But nevertheless, they still want to change their education system, and very much, you know, the student base, what the children want to learn, rather than what the teacher want to teach. And I found this very interesting. You know, while I was reading that text and that came up, that article, I read, okay, that's quite interesting. How, you know, if we say not that you should educate or you should cultivate these mental qualities or to train your mind in this particular sequence, you know, how that kind of structure will go to the Western mind, saying, oh, I want to pray, you know, I want to first Vipassana, then Shamatha, or anything like that. So it is quite interesting to see, to observe some of these, you know, the changes. But for like these traditional, and like Jason Kabwa and other, like Kamala Shila, if you read Kamala Shila's, you know, the stages of the meditation, those three texts, and Jason Kabwa is closely following one of those texts, and training our mind, educating our mind in this particular, you know, the strand is really some of the sequences are very much fixed according to those master. So here, you know, the cultivating this ideally to have a, you know, the fully developed shamatha, you know, single-pointed mind. If that is difficult, but at least, you know, they have some kind of certain degrees of stillness, stability, and the clarity seems to be, you know, very, very crucial if we are going to have a effective, and that's the word, if we are going to have an effective vipassana meditation. You know, to do an effective vipassana meditation, having the stillness and the clarity, those two are seems to be the main ingredients to do the, you know, effective analysis. Otherwise, I usually give, you know, these examples. You know, in India, you will see quite often, and these days in the roadside, those the people who are repairing the broken roads, and that if you look at the tools they have, most of those tools that they need to dig up, they don't have any sharpness. You know, so without sharpness, it is very difficult to, and most of those, you know, the pressure they put on. Unlucky in here, you know, they recently, at the end of my street, there was a pothole. And on the way going to pick up bus, and you know, there were only two relatively old guy, and filling that, you know, pothole, and the tool they have, it's just amazing in terms of the sharpness, in terms of the force to push the pressure. You know, that makes huge difference to the work. You know, although it's a relatively big patch, they did it almost within, you know, 15-20 minutes. Dig up all the old ones, patch new ones, and that's able to do that because the tools are very powerful and advanced, and that is here is also, you know, the building the tool, cultivating the tools of shamatha, you know, stillness and the clarity will be very, very useful. You know, sure, I don't need to say those things. There is a reputation, Westerners like meditation. Is it true? you know, useful to remind ourselves. Okay, now. Oh yeah, one thing which I thought I should say is, in the morning first session, that we do very little recitations and lots of me saying blah blah blah, the refuge and so forth. Recently, somebody stay at my place, they're relatively new, maybe 8 or 9 years being a Buddhist. I know him quite well. And although he's not following the Tsongkhapa's tradition, following another tradition, but we are very good friends. And he stayed with me for a few days. And he has long hours of recitations. Hours of recitations. I didn't say anything. Of course, that's his choice, and his teachers have instructed him to do that. Seeing that, hearing that, brings back one of the Tibetan words which I really deep dislike. Long time, I still dislike that. It is called kandun. Kandun. Ka means the mouth. Dun means the said. Say it from your mouth. Say it from your mouth. Say it from your mouth. Say it. Yeah. Kandun in Tibetan. And that is quite often, that term refers to your daily practice. Your daily practice. So your daily practice is very much just say the prayers. Although it's really, really great, compared to having nothing, or just to, have all the time and hours have a gossip, or, the ideal talk or whatever, what you're saying is really some of those great prayers and so forth, and sometimes very, very useful. Saying those prayers will, trigger you to think, to think and to bring those minds. But the term that is which I dislike, and that dislike, which I really want not have that dislike, but that's built in my system, and I try many times not to have that dislike. This caused me a problem, and because of that, I noticed for some time ago now. Notice, I'm not saying those prayers, and that is sometimes cause me sad. Not saying those prayers, some of the prayers that I have memorized when I was 13, 14, 15 years old, and they are very, very beautiful prayers, and I have said many times. Like for example, Shantideva's Guide to the Bodhisattva Way of Life, I memorized when I was 18. Chansu Rinpoche instructed me to do that, and I did. And I said this for many years. Not whole text once, but chapter after chapter. But that dislike towards that terminology really reduced many of my saying prayers. So there's this, what I'm talking about is the setting the right balance. The we Tibetans, I'm not saying all, of course some of those great teachers, they don't do that. But the majority of us, daily practice is just reading the text, just saying that I have this commitment and saying it, blah, 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 blah. You notice you have started and you notice you have end. You have not noticed between us. And, you know, that is not nice habit, not right habit. So the point what I'm making here is this. We are very, many of us, saying the refuge and the refuge lines and the bodhicitta lines are very much now, many of you, even you can say by heart, even in Tibetans, it is very useful not to adopt and habit, just say the words, not have the feelings. And that's why, I say those blah blah, that kind of hope, what we are going to say at the end, San Ye Chodang, there's some sort of feeling in our mind. So that's what I thought I should say. Otherwise, you may, at the end of the 50th day, you may fed up. Why he just keeps saying me again and again. I know those things. There was a complaint some time ago. Why are you saying this again and again and again? But not serious complaint, but with a joke, but I took it very seriously. Anyway, yeah. Okay, now we'll go into our reading. So yesterday's our reading, mainly we focused on, the identification of the referent object of the self-grasping of person, briefly reading Tsongkhapa's Essence of True Eloquence, and conjoined with this text that we are reading, different Buddhist philosophical schools, masters, how they present, the referent object of the self-grasping of person, which is very important for two reasons. The first reason is important because that is the referent object of the self-grasping of person, which is I, or the self, is doer of the actions and experiencer of the results of the our actions, either positive or negative, here, right here and now, or in our future to experience full enlightenment. In that sense, while we are negating or rejecting or sorting out, some of our distorted notion of self or the I, that referent object of the I or the self, should not be negated, should not be refuted. That is the one of the reason. And another reason that we said, because the self-grasping of the person occurred within ourselves, relation to the I or the self, the I or the self, which is the referent object. And to understand that wrong grasping, that mistaken or the, distorted self-grasping of the person, the manner of it, grasping, way in which or how in which it grasped the self or the I, the identity, then understanding the I or the self itself is crucial. So for those two points, yesterday we spent relatively good time to read some of the sections of Tsongkhapa's this text. Then also we have read the section where Tsongkhapa explains, you know, out of the two levels or two types of self-grasping in general, and in particular self-grasping of person and self-grasping of phenomena, out of those two, there are two kinds, which is called innate and contrived. Within these two, innate self-grasping is the main target for the, you know, the elimination, to experience, to be free from cyclic existence, you know, cyclic existence. Even though in the teachings, in the writings, you know, which I'm going to read briefly from Tsongkhapa's Essence of True Eloquence, yesterday I didn't manage to read. Although in the scripture, the explanations are done with regard to the self-grasping of person or the self-grasping of phenomena, explanations are done regarding to the contrived self-grasping. That is how the nature of the explanation is. But for the practitioners, the main aim, although contrived self-grasping need to be eliminated, but the main target for the elimination is the innate self-grasping. And that's also one of the point that we raised yesterday. And the end of the yesterday, another important point that Tsongkhapa has put in this text is, you know, the based on Dhammakirti's in his, you know, the Pramana Vatika, you know, the valid cognition, that text, you know, his explanation of the sequence of how, you know, the self-grasping, or the self-grasping of person and self-grasping of phenomena, in this case, self-grasping of person, you know, is the starting point, or is the triggering point that follows all the different layers of affections, distorted mental states, and that what we read yesterday. Just some of those points might be good to briefly refresh in our minds. So today, our main reading, as I mentioned, will start from page 19. Before that, there are a few points which I was going to say last night, but then our time ran out, but I'm going to say it today. I'm not going to skip some of those points. In page 12, now I'm looking at the middle in Lambrim, page 12. This is again from Dhammakirti. And this is one of the Tsongkhapa's, you know, the styles, Tsongkhapa's styles. For Tsongkhapa, compared with some of the other, his time contemporary, and other Tibetan Buddhist great thinkers, practitioners, you know, the Tsongkhapa and a few other in contemporary his time, some of Sakya masters, you know, there is this tremendous sense of, you know, seeing a great value to incorporate Dhammakirti's teachings in the Madhyamika schools, you know, the presentations or the yeah Madhyamika School's presentation of emptiness, particularly from the, you know, the reasoning point of view, you know, reasoning point of view. And that is really something at his time, very, in certain extents, quite unique, although there are some Sakya masters and, you know, the, some of his followers there. Jetsong Kharpa observed at his time, or before him, in Tibet, there is this sense of rejection, sense of refuting the values of Dhammakitti, the Dignakam and the Dhammakitti's epistemology and logic, you know, the teachings. And that is clearly stated in his short autobiography, you know, the Dr. Dulema in Tibetan, saying the, you know, the explaining the realization of then, you know, the, something looking forward in the future, futures, you know, the anyway, in that short autobiography, there is one verse that clearly, you know, shows how he's had observed. Changzhou dina ceme shunglo la, jangda ma jang tume denji tu, doda de dun kong la changzhou tu, dobe nyam ne rinpa yueme ser. Changzhou dina ceme shunglo la, that means, you know, the, in the, this, in this northern part, that's what quite often Tibet is called, the northern part, you know, Changzhou. Dina in here, in this northern part, in this part of the world, northern part of the world, Tseme Shunglugla, that means, you know, those pramana teachings, those epistemological and logical teachings, logical teachings. Tseme Shunglugla, Dodan Dedun Kunga Changjukdu, then he, you know, the, what you call the, called those texts, Do, that is text written by Dignakam, you know, the his like, you know, we can call it the founder of the Buddhist, you know, systematically structured Buddhist epistemology and logic. Dodang, Dedun refers to those seven treatises written by Dhammakitti, not his direct, not direct disciple of the Dignakam, but very closely to follow his teachings. So he wrote seven treatises. Dodang dedu kunla changchupdo drabe nyamne rinpa yuemeser, saying, you know, these teachings written by these two great teachers and other those, you know, the pramana teachings, do not have any teachings or any explanations to attain enlightenment. Dodha dedu kunla changchupdu, changchupdu, changchup means enlightenment. Dobe nyamle rinpa yuemeser, there's no teachings, explanations to achieve, to attain enlightenment. Dodha dedu kunla dobe nyamle rinpa yuemeser. Then Jetsong Kharpa gave his own observation, and his own, I will not say read say in Tibetan now, it's quite long, it make a summary. He said, without having the logic and the epistemology notion of that which is explained in these, you know, the two great teachers, you know, the Madhyamika teachings, to explain, you know, very effectively and very sort of, you know, the very effectively, you know, the, it is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. And that's what Jetsongkhapa said. And you can see, you know, he's keen to bring, even though, as we saw yesterday when we are reading one of the Dhammakitti's quotation, even though the, in terms of the, you know, the view of emptiness is concerned, it is not the same view that Chandrakirti or Jetsongkhapa will share as a final view of emptiness that presented by Dhammakitti. Nevertheless, you know, some of the Dhammakitti's points are well, you know, sort of Jetsongkhapa says very, very in useful, important. Now here, this verse is a very useful one in terms of the, if the self-grasping and the self, you know, the self-grasping of person and the self-grasping of phenomena, say they are within us, you know, within us, we don't know, Buddha and those subsequent teachers have said they are within us and they cause problems to us, and we are supposed, we sort of think that might be the case. So then if that is the case, which way make them to remove, make them to stop, you know, within ourselves, within our mental states, within our mental states, you know, and this verse give us a clear manner how to stop them, and it is very often quoted. In English it says, without disbelieving its object. I'm not very keen to say disbelieving. Disbelieving and disbelieving. Believe, disbelieve, is it like that? Yeah. Believe is not a very nice word. You know, that when you believe something, you are still not very sure. You just accept it. You know, that. And, you know, the, in Tibetan, Teyu sunjung meva, sunchungwa, not disbelieving, sunchungwa. Sunchungwa has a strong element, a strong connotation of, you know, that you can use those words, abandonment, or elimination, or, you know, the discarding, and all those words have this sun chungwa, you know, that it is more the, in Tibetan, it is more what you call the textual word, you know, the common, in our common language, we will not use that, you know, to discard or to eliminate, we will not use that word sun chungwa, you know, the, it is more textual word, but it is a very, very useful, important words, and it doesn't have in that, you know, because disbelieving is not strong enough.
When Hopkins revised it, he said, without rejecting the object.
Okay, that is clear, good one. That's rejecting, yeah. So rejecting or eliminating, you know, all those words are important. Disbelieving is not that strong enough. That's what I'm mumbling here because of unhappiness. So, Teyu Sunjung Mabani. You know, if we really want to stop a mental state, I mean, these days you can slow down our brain activities by taking some substances. You know, they know exactly where the brain is functioning. But that is just simply slowing down, not really getting rid of. You know? And That's all. That little bit worries me. You know, there's the understanding of the neural system, and the people saying, "Oh, it's something." You know, I think it might be great. It might be great to if those neuron, what's happening in our brain while we are meditating on compassion, if that is able to that in you know showing some sort of changes or indication is able to prove to people, you know, meditation, compassion, doing something not in just in here, in the brain, signing, but doing something in the real there. Mm-hmm. But that is fine. But if we everything, you know, deduct to the brain, you know, the everything to trace down to the what's happening in the brain, that worries me a little bit, you know. The Buddhists, you know, as following Dhammakirti's things, the Buddhists way of removing, you know, getting rid of the mental state that we don't want is the only way, the most effective way, is, you know, as we saw yesterday briefly, and here, most effective way is to bring within ourselves, which has a completely opposite, aspect of that mind, which we want to get rid of. You know, that is how, you know, how that mind will stop, the mind that we don't want. You know, at the moment, if we take an example, our own experiences, at the moment, we are struggling, even though we want, we are struggling intentionally to hold altruistic mind thinking for genuinely thinking for well-beings of others. We are struggling to hold that. It is not just because we are not just familiar with that mind. It is also its opposite is too strong for us. That is the self-centered mind. The self-centered mind is too strong. That opposite of the self-centered mind, which is the mind which center others, struggle to come. And it is nature. It is nature. You know, it is not, it is nature. So it is the same. That is what here, in this quotation, "Tiyusunjung mebani tebongwani nyumayin." It cannot be abandoned. It cannot be abandoned. So, you know, what is the meaning of opposite mind, which I used just a few seconds ago, you know, and that is what here is relevant, which it says, you know, its object. Now, if you remember, day before yesterday's one of the points that we talk about is the self-graspings or the self-grasping of the person, its referent object and its grasping object of the grasping. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. And that is what here. That's what here is again relevant. When it used term here, you know, rejecting its object or abandoning its object, you know, rejecting its object. Now its object, out of those two objects, a referent object and object of the grasping, here it refers to the latter, not the first one. Okay. I'm talking about this example, the self-grasping of the person. The self-grasping of the person, it has two objects. It's a referent object and it's object of grasping. And in here, in the first line, when it says, without, you know, rejecting, without rejecting, you know, its object. Its object here refers to, if you say it refers to the self-grasping of the person, self-grasping of the person's its grasping object, not its referent object. Although its grasping object related to its referent object, but what it's rejecting is its grasping object, not its referent object. And that's what here it is useful to remember. Cannot be abandoned. So if we reverse to abandoned or to get rid of the self-grasping of the person in our discussion, the main topic, self-grasping of the person, to eliminate that within our mental continuum, only way is to reject or to abandon its grasping object. Its grasping object. And that is what here, I think it's quite important. So, then the next, now I will not read all there, and there you can read Tsongkhapa's text, very clear here. Then the next quotation, which again, very related to what I've just said, the quotation which comes from Chandakirti's text, you know, the treatise on the middle way. And this is also, this quotation also have one point which relevant to yesterday, day before yesterday, we have been using, that view of transitory, which is, you know, equivalent to self-grasping or person. So this also comes from Chandakirti's text, you can see. And also there are sutra sources, the view of transitory, citta. So this verse has this, I'm reading this just to make small clarification. This will be very clear now because we have talked a lot. So saying this, seeing with his mind that all afflictive emotions and defects arise from the view of transitory collection. Now we know that view of transitory collection. So that is bringing the, you know, the reasons. Then it says this, and realizing that self is the object of this, a yogi refutes self. So there are two selves mentioned in these last two lines. It says, realizing that the self is the object of this, and the yogi refutes self. So the first self is referring to the referent object of the self-grasping, and the second self, which says yogi refutes self, that self refers to grasping object of the self-grasping or person. Is it clear now? That's what we already done that. So I just want you to, you know, to get that. Yeah. So that is more or less. So in here, really, this section that we are we have read these two quotations. In this section, what Tsongkhapa has done, again, quoting from many different great Indian masters, and including later there is, I think, also sutra in the next page, page 13, middle of that page 13, there is a sutra quotation. It says it is a sutra on the, you know, that. So all these points are making, Jetsun Kabe is making, mainly making quotation from these great Indian masters to say, you know, first of all, to say a practitioner or a person who really dislike the self-grasping of the person or dislike self-grasping, then he or she or they should strive to deal with the self-grasping of person through, you know, the cultivation of, you know, the understanding of selflessness, or understanding of selflessness of the person, and the understanding of selflessness of the phenomena. So all these are really more or less to consolidate or to you know, to make it clear that is the case. If somebody sees, understands self-grasping causes tremendous problem to oneself for immediately and long term, then the only way to overcome the self-grasping is cultivation of, you know, this understanding of selflessness. So these are the you know, the quotations and so forth. So just look at that one. Then end of the page 13, they say one, you know, the then from here a little bit further, the section is dealing with, in order to cultivate understanding of selflessness of the person and selflessness of the phenomena, analysis is crucial, investigation is crucial. And this is very important one, you know, the for Jetsun Kabe, he, people who are familiar with the, his, you know, the amazing text, that, you know, the extensive stages of the path to enlightenment, you know, great stages of the path to enlightenment, you know, the, after the first topic, that is how to reliance on the spiritual teacher, and then there is a section he mentioned, you know, the meditation, you know, the meditation, and the structure of the text is amazing. You know, the first he mentioned the first topic, then straight away he explained the requirement of meditation. Although at there he didn't go any detailed cultivation of shamatha and the cultivation of vipassana. In fact, he said at that section, I'm going to explain, you know, in detail in the later section, you know. But what he did in that, right after the how to reliance on the teacher, he explained quite, you know, thoroughly importance of having done meditation in these topics that he is going to explain. And along that, he said, yes, there are occasions that need to do, you know, the sometimes translated saying placement meditation. In other words, just single-pointed meditation, you know, calm abiding or single-pointed meditation, calming cultivation of, you know, experiencing that kind of calm, you know, relax. But he said, to, you know, most of the topics that he is going to explain require contemplative meditation or analytical meditation. I think the analytical meditation, usage of that term, because contemplative meditation nowadays is conflated in many different ways. You know, so I think the analytical meditation, if we say, or even some stronger word, critical meditation, you know, is required, that what is said. And I think that is very, very important for us. And we know last 2 days, and already somebody complained yesterday, didn't they? I don't know how to, I never got it in my eye. You know, yes, when you do the analysis, it's not easy. It is hard work. It is hard work. First of all, many of us, we do not have the, you know, the stability. Because of lack of stability, our mind runs away. So when our mind runs away, then analytical is difficult. You know. So the, yes, it is hard work. Hard work. And doing analytical meditation is hard work. But it is required. It is necessary, you know, to make really this the quotation that that Jetsun Kapa cited from Dhammakirti's, to really, you know, reject the in this case the grasping object of the self grasping without an analysis. Without analysis, cannot be rejected. So this coming, what you call the paragraphs or things, are really mainly he was talking about requirement of, you know, the analytical meditation, and we will see later, you know, the analysis, you know, the psychoanalysis. I've read some of those texts in the past. You know, analysis. But when we say to do analysis, it is also a matter of what kind of, you know, how you're going to do the analysis, how you're going to form the analysis. You know, the forming in a structured way, traditionally, if we will see later, forming a structured way. The analysis is forming in a very structured way, seems to be very productive, then the, you know, the analyzing everywhere, but not very much any follow-up, you know, then therefore difficult to see the result, you know, that sort of things. So this coming, one thing which I want to draw your attention, then we will leave for the tea break, is on page 14, the second paragraph, paragraph which in this small writing saying that the second, the reason for that, it has three parts. The first of which is the existence in general of the three modes of conceiving. So here, Jetsun Kapa gave us, you know, generally, you know, there are three sort of way of or modes of, you know, perceiving our eye in our day-to-day lives. You know, and that is sometimes quite useful. Sometimes these kind of, I usually treat them as a frame, not necessarily very clear cut. You know, there are only three. There's no more than three, not in that way, but in a, like a framework, and then work ourselves within that frame, sometimes quite useful. So here this says, the reason for this is that there are three modes of minds, of the minds, operating on an object. First, apprehending the object of observation, you can say the reference, to exist truly. To exist truly. That's the first one. The second one is apprehending it not to exist truly. For many of us, that is difficult. And the third, apprehending it without qualifying it with either of those. So that is here. So in other words, when we interact with the things and events, including our sense of I, the referent object, the I. You know, the sometimes, some days, you know, there's this I or the self is apprehended in a manner of completely independent from the mind and body, put it one way, or I or the self is apprehended in and of itself from the mind and body. And that's the first one. And the second one is, you know, apprehended the I or the self, you know, the completely in now, if we use this, you know, the Chandakirti and the Pasangika, is I on this, or the referent object, I or the self, exists conventionally, mere conventional, not mere conventional. And that is the second. And the third is neither. Now, in our last two days observation, then also here needs some kind of explanation in here. Here the term is used apprehending in English. In Tibetan, denzin. Mikpa dembar zimba, truly grasping, and not truly grasping, opposite of that, denzin. Keep it simple now. Grasping, or here term is used apprehending, apprehension, and appearing truly grasping, is slightly different, these two mental states, relation to, you know, to appearing, you know, the table appear to my mind, you know, and my mind grasping table truly exist. That's like these two are. Both are mental activities in terms of the heaviness. You know, the one is a little bit heavier than the others. That doesn't mean, you know, that less heavy is less destructive. No. Sometimes less heavy is more destructive for the long term. You know, because less heavy are more subtle, you know, and therefore here, you know, here Jetsongkhapa use very clear words, you know, the apprehending in English, he translated in Tibetan zimba, den zin, not nangwa, den nang in Tibetan. In Tibetan, den nang, denbar nangwa, appearance, appears truly existent. That is denbar nangwa. Appear, table appears truly existent to me. You know, that's the one stage. That doesn't mean it is completely table's fault. You know, the table may play because it's solid, concrete, you know, the unitary, and it was there yesterday and it's here today. And all this may, you know, contribute, but there's also, you know, from our side, you know, the table, you know, our side also have contributed that type of appearance, truly existent appearance. But that is slightly quite a big difference from my mind grasping or apprehending table truly exist. And here, talking about the second one. Okay, now, have a truly existent tea.